Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome you to the broadcast. Others have tuned in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. I welcome you. Others that are listening by the way of Sermon Cloud, and one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from a Lighthouse, scroll down till you see Sermon Cloud, and click, and it'll take you right to my storage place where I got about 30 messages waiting to be listened to. Another way to do that is I'm a public figure on Facebook. I do a devotion each day. On the Saturday's devotion, the last thing I put on my Saturday devotion is a link to the same website where I have the 30 messages stored up. So you can listen either one of those two ways, and you can listen to that message then at any time you so desire. So I thank you so much, whichever way you joined us, for joining us this morning, and I'm looking forward to beginning something new that I haven't done for a long time. I don't believe I've ever done it. I'm going to be teaching the book of James, and I'll talk about that in just a few moments, but I need to say thank you to those that take care of some of the financial costs that's involved in putting the broadcast on. So a thank you to Marie Vivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee, but she's going to be here in Michigan for a few weeks, and so we're glad to see her again. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from Greenville. To Doug and Noreen Lane family, they're from the Sheridan area, and in Court Warner Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44 on the north side of the road. I need to say thank you to Kay Ann Kingsinger. She selected my music for this morning, and I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, and we're back to our normal schedule now. So the way it begins at Shiloh is Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we start out at 9, contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, that's the old Lutheran church located M91 up there by McDonald's, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And we give you an invitation to attend any one of those services you would so desire. And what a blessing it is for me to come to you from the Lighthouse. It's a Tuesday evening, early evening, that I'm over here. It's been a beautiful day Tuesday. Warmed up finally in the afternoon. Sunshine has been very nice, and I'm over here at the lake, and there's not anybody else on the lake that I can see. I've glanced all over the whole body of water. I don't see anybody else there. We have some seagulls. We have a few swans swimming out there in the center of the lake, and I guess that takes care of all that there is here at the lake this evening. But it is a beautiful evening, and it's good to see the blue sky and the water. And we know this is a limited time. We know things are going to change one of these days as we're into the month of September, and it's hard to believe we're already into the middle of September. And so I'm looking forward to share with you, as I said a moment ago, the book of James. James is one of my favorite books. I taught it many times when I was pastor at Shiloh Community Church. And it's about our everyday Christian living. It covers many different areas of life and gives us God's thinking about these different areas of life. And so I'll be sharing that for, I think it's about 8 weeks. And so I trust that each day, each message will be a message of its own. And so we'll just look forward to seeing what God wants to do for each one of us. Well, let's get our broadcast started for this morning. And to do so, I got a song that simply says joy, because he's going to be talking about joy in the book of James first off. And so we got a song that's talking about joy. So we'll listen to this song, and then I will be coming right back and share the message with you that God has for us in the book of James. But now we want to think about the joy we have in the Lord. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in just a little bit. Thank you.
that sustains you when everything fails
comes from the Father in heaven.
Joy that will lift you to heavenly realms
comes from the Father in heaven. Heavenly joy, unspeakable joy, joy full of glory, Jesus is joy. Wonderful joy, marvelous joy, joy of the Savior, Jesus is joy.
Jesus was hanging on Calvary's tree,
sent from the Father in heaven.
He was dying so sinners like me could go free.
A gift from the Father in heaven.
If you are looking for this kind of joy,
the gift has already been given.
It's peace that the winds of the world can't destroy.
Salvation has come down from heaven.
That song, it's a little different way of presenting it, especially when it was coming to the end there. I thought it was over, but Jesus is joy. My favorite words in that song, however, are come down from the Father in heaven. We're going to be talking about that this morning. But before we get started with that, I just love to pray for our listening audience again this morning, that God would just minister to each one of us in a very special way. So let's bow together. Dear Father, what a privilege it is to come into your presence at any time. Once again, you remind us that your ear is open unto our cry. So, Father, I'm coming to you in behalf of the listening audience and ask that your special blessing would be upon each person that's got us tuned in today to share this message with. I pray, Father, that the book of James will be a special blessing as we go through this book in the next few weeks, that we might learn many things from it about the Christian life. But I especially want to pray that whatever the needs are in the listening audience this morning, that you would minister to those needs, because you know what they are. So those that stand in need of some encouragement, I pray that something that may be said this morning would be an encouragement to them. Those that's in need of comfort, I pray, Father, the same thing, that something would be said that being a source of comfort and encouragement to them. And then, Father, those that maybe are going through some difficulty times, we're going to be talking about trials, and maybe there's some trials in their life. It's happening within the family unit, some difficult things taking place. I ask your special blessing to be upon them. Others may be going through some trials of financial discouragements, and others may be going through some trials of physical things. Others may be going through trials that has to do with a loss of a loved one, maybe something at work for those that are still in the workforce. We just ask, our Father, that whatever the listening audience needs this morning, dear Father, that you would meet them at the point of their need and give them the encouragement that they need to continue on for you. And Father, if you do that for us, we'd be so pleased. And now I pray, come and honor your word. I pray in that wonderful name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen. Well, what a privilege it is to share the word of God. But what a privilege it is that there's certain portions of God's word that each one of us likes this a little above other portions of the scripture. And it's been for some time now. The book of James has been my favorite portion of scripture when it comes to talking about the Christian life, because it covers many different areas of the Christian life. And it's one of that comes from a special source that I think is special anyway, because it's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. The writer of it is James. And you know, thinking about Jesus being raised in a family with others that were so-called half-brothers, because his father was the Heavenly Father and their father was Joseph. But he was in that family, and he must have made a tremendous impact upon that family. But to have those that was a part of that family to be doing the ministry work of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, I love it the way he starts it out in James 1:1. James, he said, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had done a work in his life. God had done something beautiful in his life, caused him to understand this one that he was raised with is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying to God's faithful people who have been scattered, greetings, he's saying. You know, the idea of his relationship to Jesus and Jesus' relationship to him, and then the blessings that's going to come from the writing of this book. And every now and then when I have the opportunity through this study, I'll connect it with and kind of link it to the Sermon of Jesus on the Mount, which is called the Beatitudes. And we'll look at a connection between the Beatitudes and the writings of James, the servant of God. And that's something very special. I love the description of himself, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes me want to listen to what he has to say. He then describes who he is writing to. God's faithful people have been scattered. We learn about this scattering way back in the book of Acts in the 11th chapter. Some of the believers were scattered because trouble broke out after Stephen had been put to death. And they scattered to different communities because there was so much anger from the people against Christians. And we realize that they spoke against the Jewish people and the Jewish way of life. And so these Christians were scattered. And what they did at first is they spoke to nobody but the Jewish people. And James is writing to them and telling them some things of encouragement. And he's first of all going to deal with the idea of the encouragement that they need to know because of something that they're going through, a tough time in their life. A time that they probably could say, I don't understand what this is all about. So James starts where the people are. They're in trials of their life because of the persecution. They're scattered all over the different communities because they were Christian. And they're being picked on because they were Christian. We are all about to get some good instructions about how to learn patience in trials and in temptation through the tough times of our life, that we can learn some things that's going to be beneficial for each one of us. The first has to do with our attitude towards the trials we're going through. Wouldn't want to say that fast, but you know, when you're going through a tough time, what's your attitude to that tough time? How are you responding in attitude? Listen to what James says in James 1:2. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, I got to tell you, the way he start now, you say, man, I don't know about this fella. He's talking about when you're going through a troubled time, that's a good experience. Well, dear brothers and sisters, remember he's saying that at first. When trouble comes your way, I'm so glad he didn't say if trouble comes your way, because we are realizing if we've lived very long, trouble is going to come our way. Consider it an opportunity. The word consider has to do with helping us with our attitude. It's an opportunity for great joy. You know, what are the trials we might face? The term is used to speak of afflictions or diversities that we encounter in our everyday life, such as trials of various kinds. It could be illness. It could be financial. It could be difficult problems at work. It could be persecution because of your faith. It could be just about anything that somebody's making it kind of tough for you in your individual life. I believe they come, these trials come in all shapes and sizes. And now he shares, what's our attitude towards those trials? Could it be the way we would never think of? To consider it or to count it pure joy, he says. Think of it about joy. By the way, when he used the word count, that means, you know, it's a bookkeeping word where you're keeping track, where you're marking this down. This is a good opportunity for me to show the joy. So it's like keeping a bookkeeping of the pluses and the minuses that are happening in your life. This seems quite a natural for our attitude toward trials to be that of joyfulness, because most of us would just as soon escape any pain if at all possible. We just soon live through our life pain-free. But I don't know how old you are today that's listening to me, but you've got to know that that's sure not the way life is. There's all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trials. And they are in many different shapes and sizes, and the pressures of them are stronger than other times and so on. But it is finding joy in what trouble produces. We're looking beyond the pain we're going through. Is enjoying the sweet fruit produced only by bitter, difficult times in our life. You know, that idea is the same thing that says when a mama is giving birth to the baby, it's so painful for her. But as soon as she sees the baby, that pain was worth it. She forgets the pain, the scripture says. Now, I'm sure she don't totally forget that, but the idea is, you know what? When we're going through the trial, we're kind of focused on the trial. But he says, let's not focus our attention only on the trial. Let's just focus our attention upon the fact of what can this trial produce in my life? I like the way I just mentioned the sweet fruit of the sweet fruit it produces in each one of our lives. You know what I call it? I call the book of James short sleeve Christianity. It's like the idea you got to roll up your sleeves. You know, that used to be a signal that, hey, we're ready to go to work on this. Got this long sleeve shirt on, and now all of a sudden there's something that needs to be done. Unbutton that button and let's roll up the sleeves and let's get at it. Let's do the job that needs to be done. Let's face the reality that we're called upon to face. That's what James is starting out with. I got to tell you, that's a pretty powerful message for each and every one of us. What's your attitude today towards the trial you're going through? Is it pure joy? Are you counting it that that's something that's going to be special in your life because it's going to produce something that could not be produced in any other way? When you think about it, when you look back at it, you realize that's true. So as we continue on in our study in the book of James, the trials we face in our lifetime, the powerful outcome of those trials in James 1:3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. In our head, that is true, but it hasn't sometimes arrived to our heart. That we know testing has given us a sense of endurance. We know we've came through some things. We know we've accomplished some things. It produces perseverance. Not a test to find out if we have faith or not, but it's a test to strengthen the faith that we already have and to give us some results from that faith that's going to be beneficial. The perseverance produces some maturity in our life. It's going to bring about a growing experience, he says in James 1:4. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. He said it's going to add things to your life. Those who study the Greek, and I don't, but they share the word term, speaks of something that has reached its intended end. It's brought about the results that it was supposed to bring about. And this maturity is further described as not lacking anything. The Greek term speaks of things which was which brought about all the necessary parts to give the fulfillment that needs to be. It's like a process is implied here. Trials equal perseverance. Perseverance equals maturity. Now think about that. Isn't that what's happened in many areas of your life? You went through an experience that was a trial, but you didn't like it. But you didn't give up. You kept on keeping on. And what did it do? It produced perseverance in your life. You may have even said after it was over, I never thought I could go through that. And what did that do? It's caused you to have some maturity. It's caused you to grow up a little bit. This is not automatic in our life. It takes time. But God is telling us, sometimes the things that we want to shy away from, sometimes the things that we just soon avoid, is the very things that can bring us about some maturity in our life, can bring us about the idea of moving forward further than we've ever thought we would be possible for us to do. Every person listening today, you can think of a trial to which you have gone through. If I ask you, would you like to go through that trial again? You would undoubtedly say to me, no way, Pastor, no way. But if I ask you, are you grateful for what difficulties accomplished in your life through that trial? Many of you would say, yes. We would be coming to that point of considering it joy. Because we know those tough times that came to an end, the end results is that we've learned perseverance. And we've learned maturity. The mature Christian life is the sweet fruit of the bitter difficulties that you and I have went through. But all of it has to do with what we talked about just a few moments ago, our attitude. You see, these trials of our life can do one of two things, I believe. It can either make us bitter or better. Some people, because they went through a little trial, they say, well, God, how come? I thought everything was just going to be just wonderful. And God is saying, no, that's not the way it's going to work. I'm going to even let you go through some things. It's going to strengthen you and make you stronger. It's going to give you perseverance. It's going to cause your Christian life to mature. An old illustration that I've liked for a long time. And on my Facebook, I put all three things there on my devotion that morning. A potato, potatoes and eggs and coffee. You know, they all change in hot water. That's what I think of trials are. It's time of hot water. The potato becomes soft. The egg becomes hard. And the coffee changes the color of the water and the taste of the water. Do you know what? That's just a natural thing that comes from that. Trials are meant to change you and I into the image of Jesus. That's why James is saying, don't fight the trials. Let the trials be an opportunity for you to grow in a way that you probably never thought you'd be possibility to grow. Bring about results in your life that you never thought would be a part of that. You know, what God is reminding us is these trials can get us to the point where we ask God to give us the wisdom to know what these trials are all about. And that's why James is writing to these Christians who are going through some tremendous trials in their life. And he said, don't become bitter towards God. Don't become bitter towards life. Realize that these are opportunities for you to really grow. So listen to what he says in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. As you're going through that trial, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I love the way he said that. Ask our generous God about that wisdom. And he'll give wisdom to you. You need wisdom? Ask for it. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. That you're not just going to just ask God, but you're going to trust God in what he's saying. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalties is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, so they become unstable in everything they do. He's saying, you know what? You're going through a trial this morning. Go to God. Go to God. Go to God and ask him for wisdom. God, what's the purpose of this? God, this is another opportunity, as I understand in your word, but I don't understand the opportunity. You ask God. But he says, make sure you got your faith in God, that you're willing to listen to what God is saying. Do not waver. Do not waver between your thoughts of what the world says and what God says. Trust what God is saying, that this trial is going to make you better. This kind of trial is going to make you mature. This is going to add some stability to your life. Maybe you've been one that has been tossed to and fro. He said, now what you got to do is check your loyalty. Are you being loyal to the Lord Jesus? Because if you're not being loyal to Jesus, one day you're believing in him and you're saying, yes, God, I want your will. I want you to do what you want to do in my life. And the next day you're listening to philosophy or whatever else it might be, the voices that are calling out to us today. He said, you know what? You're becoming unstable. I want you to have confidence in me, God is saying. The lack of faith in God's goodness and promises also can be recognized as sin. The doubter is tempted to fall back on his own human experience. And when he does that, he denies God. And he denies God's power. Human wisdom based on experience is not sufficient to meet life's storms. Believers are to trust God to provide the wisdom that is needed to face life's storms. We do need God's wisdom when we're going through our trials. We need wisdom so we will not waste the opportunity. Remember, I said it was an opportunity for you to grow. God has given us to maturity. Wisdom helps us to see the circumstances for the good of God's glory and to help in your life. So don't waste the opportunity, God is saying. God says, this is an opportunity for me to prove to you what I can do for you and through you and in you. He is to you as though it is a trial of life. James will bring this subject of wisdom up a little later, so I'm not going to spend so much time on the wisdom that he's asking us to ask God for, because he's going to talk about it a little bit later. But I love the illustration of waves. Bev and I, when we go to Florida in February, each year we've been down to Destin, Florida, and we rent a condo on the Gulf of Mexico, and there's beautiful waves. And sometimes, I'll tell you, we've had it before when we've been down there, when we just love listening to the waves. And so we've had times when we've been there for 29 days or so, and we've had the bedroom door slid apart just a little ways, the big slider that they have in there, so we can hear the waves. And they come in different sounds and different waves and so on. On my Facebook, I put a picture on when our grandkids was down there, a couple of them last year. They went out and played in those waves. And those waves were pretty powerful. God's saying, you know what? I want you to know there's going to be waves in life. It's going to try to capsize you, so to speak. But I want you to realize, as you're going through those waves, seek God's wisdom. Don't just try to face life on your own. Don't just try to figure out all these things that's happening and why are they happening and what's the purpose of all of this. That can lead you to a point where you will just begin to deny God, so to speak. And you know, one of the things that comes at the end of our study today, in the last part of James 1, about the 19th verse or so, it talks about you and I, of all of God's creation, are his prized possession. You may not think like, feel like that this morning. You may not think, boy, God's created a lot of things. How could I possibly be his prized possession? God said, I want you to know. One place in the scripture, he said, I've wrote your name in the palm of my hand. Another place, he reminds us that even the hairs of your head have been numbered. God is watching over us, folks. He cares for us. He's in love with us. We're going to listen to a song that just tells us about that. It's talking about you are the jewels. You are the jewels in God's crown. That's something that is very precious to Him. And you are very precious to Him. And even though you may not feel like that this morning, God is trying to remind us. Let's listen in.
For pleasures that cannot last, seems that truth and compassion are a thing of the past. But God still has a people who have stood and kept the faith. They're still led by His Spirit. He still
precious jewels, God's children. And God looks at us as being precious to Him. And matter of fact, as I remind you again, as we bring that portion of Scripture, the last part that we'll be looking at this morning, that He says you're of His prized possession of all of His creation. God is reminding us these trials are something that are very difficult as we're going through them. But at the same time, that you and I need to surrender. Surrender to God's will. Surrender to God's word. And you know, because of the swiftness of our individual life, it's just such a beautiful evening here at the lake this morning, this evening rather. And you know, I've just had about 5 or 6 pontoons that they must have thought the same thing, because they're just going by with a real slow little cruise out for enjoying the evening, and that's so special. And you and I need to know that God wants us to understand that whatever we're going through our life, whether it is a good time or a difficult time, God wants us to know that we are a part of his kingdom, a part of his family, and we're precious to him. He goes on in James 1, 9 through 16, believers who are poor have something to boast about, he says, for God has honored them. He's going to talk about riches and being poor and so on, not having much. But you know, God is saying, when you don't have much and yet God provides for you, God honors you. God honors and takes care of you. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. God wants to work in each one of our individual lives. He wants them to remind themselves that they should not just trust in their riches, but God has given some humility into their life to trust in him. He says they will fade away like a little flower in the field, the riches well. The hot sun rises and the grass withers and the little flower drops and falls and his beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. He said, you might think something like this is the way most people think. If I just had a little more money, then I wouldn't have so many trials. And God is really saying, you know what? You just trust me and I'll take care of you. But also he's saying, you know what? Sometimes if you had more money, you'd have more trials. We think that's the answer to it. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. You might think you could avoid some temptation if you had some more money, but you would miss what God has for your life. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God is saying, I want you to understand that everything that happens at that time isn't just what happens at that time. The rich do have it maybe a little easier than you do. And sometimes you think, poor me, because I've been so poor. But God is saying, you know what? Just trust me. You know, I can lift you up through your poverty. But in order for me to get into the heart of the rich man, I have to humble him. He has to come to the place of humility because he's just trusted in those riches. We all have to deal with the facts of life that some have very little and need to learn how to live with what they have. And others have so much, they need to learn how to live with more than they need and not let that abundance control their entire life. I love the way God shared that believers are poor but have something to boast about, for God has honored them. The bottom line is God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptations. After they will receive the crown of life that God has promised for them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. Because he's saying, you know what? All of those riches are going to fade away. Don't you think it causes trials in a person's life when their riches are fading away? When all of a sudden their world is falling apart because there's some hot sun of the financial problems of the world today. The little flower drops away and all the beauty is gone. You know, even their achievements end up not accomplishing a whole lot. So God is reminding us, we need to know, rather, which are poor. We need to remember when you and I are tempted. Remember when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. And we need to remind ourselves that God never tempts anyone else to do wrong. Temptation, God says, comes into your life and my life because of our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters, he's saying. God is reminding us that this life has these things for us to do, go through. And you might think your problems would be solved if you had more money. But that's not true. Your problems could be increased, in fact. I put a picture on Facebook about a little mouse that sees the cheese on the mouse trap, so he's putting himself on a little helmet, hoping he can get to the cheese. Sometimes that's the way we all kind of respond. But listen to this statement, which is so true. Sin, when it is finished, folks, James 1:15, it brings death. God don't want that in your life. God wants you to realize that there'll be trials you're going through in your individual life. There'll be some tough times in your individual life. But he wants you to know he's going to use all that to bring about some good things in your life. It's going to develop you into a stronger Christian. So whatever you're going through today, when you're just saying, God, enough, whatever you're going through today, what's your attitude? Is it an attitude that you want to grow? You want to become mature? The idea that you want to have more perseverance than you've ever had before? I know when I meet with young couples, you know, one of the things I like to tell them to do is that sometimes they need to sit down and look at the things they've came through. And just mark down, we've came through this and this, and think about those things. And if you're going through a tough time right now in your life, then you need to remind yourself, yeah, but look, we've came through this and this and this. We can come through this as well. God's going to help you. And that's what God wants us to do. We're going back to that term again, that term that's a bookkeeper's term, counted joy, counted joy. Take a look at the things that you've done in your life and been through in your life. When I look back over my life and think of the things that I've been through, the things that I've gone through as an individual, I can see how it's added so much to my life that never would have been there. It never would have been a part of my life. I would never have experienced what I'm experiencing in the later years of my life. You know, the book of James continues on with a few more thoughts about these trials we're going through and the connection it has towards temptations. And you and I need to know that God is reminding us, God's goal for your life is maturity. It would be tragic if our little children remained babies, wouldn't it? Got some grandbabies, some great grandbabies. You know what? Sometimes I don't like to have them grow as fast as they do. And sometimes it's the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren that make you realize, man, I'm really old to have a grandson that old or to have a great-grandchild that old. You know, we want them to grow. We want to watch them grow. We want to enjoy their growth. We want to see that they're making progress. They're becoming mature. They're no longer little children. One of my grandsons has been doing some work for me. He's no longer just that little child that he was. He can do these things. Same is true. God wants us to grow. And God's testing has a way to bring this about. It brings it about in as we understand, it isn't going to happen because you've got plenty of material resources. Those material resources are not going to get you through your trials. But spiritual resources, that's going to get you through your trials. It's going to be just as natural as life is itself. God wants us to know that. But we got to remind ourselves, because sometimes when people go through trials and tribulations in their life, they start blaming God. And many times that's where they begin, blaming God. And I personally believe that can cause more trouble than anything else. Where are you, God? I thought you said you'd be with me. I don't even want to think that way. I don't even want to look at that way. I think it's better to look at it. God is saying, I'm giving you another opportunity, Ken. Here's an opportunity for you to go forward. Here's an opportunity for you to add some maturity to your life. Remember, God does not tempt us to do evil. Either evil can be traced to our own human desires. God only wants to bring about good. So what must we do when we're tempted? What we do when we're tempted to do evil is that don't blame God for it. Don't blame God for it. Look at your own life when you're tempted to do evil and realize that human nature is to do evil. We must blame ourselves as human beings. The Apostle Paul shared a struggle that he had in his life. At one time he said, you know what, there's so many things that I know that I could have, that if I did them, they would be good things for me to do, and I really want to do those good things. But then I find something else inside of me that I don't want to do evil things. I don't want to think bad things and do bad things. But I find out that that comes from inside of me. And sometimes the things that I want to do, I end up not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And I'm upset with myself. I'm bothered about what's going on in my life. And in Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25, he said, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then his bottom line is simply this. Your spiritual resources will do that. Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you know what he's saying? When you're going through these trials, you want to look for the victory that is in Jesus. And Jesus has called us to have a time of victory. The theme of this book of James would be called practical religion. That's what we could call it. This is religion that works. This is religion that makes sense. But I think of being a Christian not as a religious relationship, but rather it's a relationship with God the Father. And this relationship is through his Son, the Lord Jesus, and the daily work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what I say the central theme of this epistle is that this relationship with God, you know what, it can manifest itself and show itself in our behavior or our works of those that profess to have this relationship with God. It can help us to do it. But you know what it takes? As we go through these trials and so on, it takes a work that is called, that's left off a lot today. I'm going to call it cultivation. It takes us to cultivate our thinking so it goes with God's thinking. It takes us to understand what cultivation can do. For many years, I worked in the muck fields, in the onion fields. And as the onions got so high, what we had was called a push hole. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up on Google. A push hole. Two handles and a wheel and a little thing that went down in the ground and would scratch the surface. It would get rid of some weeds. At the same time, we would open up the surface so that the ground was fresh to take rain. When you cultivated, it would open the ground again and it would be open so that when the rain came in, it would go right into the plant. And that cultivation helped the plant to grow. And that's what God is saying. That plant seemed like it experienced some labor put towards its growth. And it seems like it liked the attention that it was getting of the ground being scratched right next to it. And you know what? That wheel hole was a good tool. It caused the crops to really grow. And God is saying, you know what? In your Christian life, what you need and what I need is we need some cultivation. We need to cultivate that attitude that when you're going through something and whatever that is this morning, you need to cultivate in your mind that attitude. This is an opportunity for growth. This is an opportunity for joy. This is an opportunity for me to experience something in my life that's going to be God-ordained. It's something that God's going to bring about. I don't want to come to the point where I'm just looking at the world's philosophy about what I'm going through, why I'm going through. I don't want to think about just the idea of becoming bitter towards God because he hasn't treated me the way I think he should treat me. But listen to this, two of my favorite verses from the book of James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of his truth, that we should be kind of the first fruits of his creation. Oh man, there's a lot in that verse, and I'll spend the rest of my time with that as we bring our service to a conclusion today. I love the way it is described in different versions of the Bible. God is the giver of good and perfect gifts coming down from us from the Father of lights. Another scripture says, every desire and beneficial gift comes down from heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of lights. Every good action, every perfect gift is from God. These good gifts come down from the Creator of the sun, moon, and stars. Just think, the Father, the Creator, the God of all creation, says, I'm sending into your life good gifts. And you know what he's saying this morning to us? One of those good gifts is the trials you're going through. We don't normally think of it like that. God, I want everything to go easy. God, I want as little pain as possible. But God is saying through those tough times of your life is how you're going to grow, how you're going to become who I want you to become. Then in passing, we want to pause and consider this thought. He's the unchanging God. In James, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. There's no variableness or shadow due to change. There's a verse in the book of Malachi where God says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you children of Israel and Jacob, you are not consumed because my mercy comes out to you in these special times of your life. You know what? Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. What he has said, will he not do it? Or has God spoken, will he not fulfill it? And my favorite verse is Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. What else do you know about that, folks? What else is there like that? Jesus is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. God is saying, I'm an unchanging God. And I got to tell you, I can show you all the way through the Old Testament how trials in people's life produce good qualities out of their life. And he could do that for us. But he's also reminding us that that's why he wants us to understand that our attitude towards these things is this is an opportunity. Whatever tough time you're going through this morning, even don't feel like that. It's a good opportunity for you to grow like you've never grown before. The last thought I would like to change brought it back to my attention when it says there's no shadow of turning with God. You know, when I was a young kid, I remembered being out in the sun. We was outdoors a lot. And being in the sun and find that my shadow changed. Of course, I had no idea why it did that. Came across this quick answer. It says, shadows change the length throughout the day because the angle at which the sun shines on a stationary object changed with the Earth's rotation. So as the Earth was rotating, it would change my shadow. But you know what? I'm glad I know why that did that. But I used to like, see, sometimes I'd be short shadow. Sometimes I'd be a longer shadow. But God is saying, you know, with him, there's no shadow of a turning. We're going to listen to the God of Good Things, a song that we're going to listen to in closing. So let's do that about right now. And this song is reminding us that God is the God of good things in your life, blessed things in your life. So whatever trials you're going through this morning, let's take it as an opportunity for us to grow. God bless you.
When death may come, it tries our faith by taking those we know. If we could glimpse the other side, we'd see that God must love them so. My God is a God of all good things. Each day with him new blessings bring. Each miracle born on angels' wings. My God is a God of all good things.
Though disappointments come our way that we can't understand,
with him new blessings bring. Each miracle born.